If you desire to do that, you can take yours off. And if you've got hearing aids, you can put them back in your ears. It's good to see all of you again. Just rejoice in being able to do that, and even now to be able to see your faces. So let's open up God's Word. You should already be there in our passage in Matthew chapter 14. If you'll get out your life point outline, which I trust that you've already got in your hands, the first thing I want you to notice is the core truth, and that is that if you belong to the Lord Jesus, God is with you, even in this present storm, and He is with us in every storm that we face. And so, as long as the Lord has me, which is pretty well through the month of August in this series that I'm with you always, God is just seeking to drive into us again and again, because we're in days that we, of course, have not experienced before, not in this particular way. And so the thing for us to remember, to keep into our minds, is also something that we can pass on to other men and women that God is going to cause our paths to cross. And that's the thing I want you to think about in these days. This is so critical that you and I, as God's kids, get this message in our minds. We are being tested. We're being stretched. We're being pulled in some new and fresh directions, because the Lord is seeking to enlarge us. He's seeking to grow us so that we can continue to be available and effective for the kingdom. Because this virus, this thing that our country is going through, is working on all of us. And it's working on a lot of people in that it is knocking out from under them some of the props that they have had in their life that have kept them away from the Lord. And this whole deal is rattling people. And the last people on this planet these kind of days need to rattle is God's kids. And that's one of the things that I've been seeking to get across to us, because the Lord teaches us in Scripture that if we walk with Him, if we are obedient to Him, God has determined the number of our days. Would you say amen to that? And the Lord, because we talked about that last week. And so if I am being obedient to the Lord, if I am walking with Him, if I just want to hear Him, I want to do what God wants me to do, then the Lord says, I've already said how long my will for you on this earth is. And if you do what I want you to do, you will get to the place that I want you to be, and then you're going to come home. And as long as I'm on an assignment from God, I am not vulnerable. God is going to watch over me. God is going to keep me. Why? Because there is a plan for me. And I want you and I to understand that. So when we go out, yes, I wear a mask, but I'm not afraid. Why? Because God says, don't tempt me, but just understand, as you go through this world, I will take care of you. Be obedient to me, and you will come home at the appointed time and not a day earlier. Does that make sense? And so that's our comfort. That's how we live through these days. So look at this first insight. In times of hardship, Jesus is the source of our hope. And that is absolutely critical. And so the goal of today is I want you and I, again, and those who may be listening, I want you to find in this storm that we find ourselves in, I want you to find a center point of calmness. I want you to be walking in calmness in the midst of all of this. And so I've got several things I want to share with you, as has already been read, and we're looking here at this passage in Matthew chapter 14, when the disciples get into a storm. So let's just kind of pull out of it some things. There's so much that could be done. I'm not going to certainly exhaust it, but there's some things that just came into my heart and have stuck, and so I want to share them with you. And the first one is this. Number one, to live life is to encounter storms. And that's one of the things that God just wants us to remember. So let me just expand that a little bit. If you'll look at this next truth, there is a storm in everyone's future, my life and your life, and they are often unexpected. In other words, I can't always see a storm coming, according to what God teaches in Scripture. And we see that directly in this passage in Matthew chapter 14. And look at this next insight. When I say storm, I am using it metaphorically, and it means difficulty. Storms of difficulty come into my life and your life when we get stretched. You know, this past week, in the last several weeks, I've been in touch with members in our church family, and when I get to be around you, I just want you to know it just blesses my heart. And we want to hear from you in ways that we can be praying for you. But I learned of different members in our family that are going through some hardships, going through a very difficult time. For some in our church family, their storm at present is really what you would call a life tragedy. They're having some real difficult things to happen. Storms can be financial crisis. They can be, you know, loss of a job, legal problems, can be health issues. You know, for some of you sitting here this morning, particularly in the first service, this is where we usually have our, what you would call the plethora of white hair, you know, that is here in the first service. Not totally, but to a great extent. And for, you know, for some of you that are here, the storm that is in your life is a storm that I feel and affects me from time to time. And that's when you begin to realize the old body that God gave you has really been good. All of a sudden, it's just not working like it used to. You know, if it works, it hurts. And if it don't hurt, that's because it don't work. And so, you know, you're just like, this is, you know, Lord, I didn't see that coming. And so that's a storm. And it can really work on you emotionally, because mentally you feel like you're in your 30s, but your body's saying, man, you're writing checks I can't cash anymore, you know, so just stop it. And maybe for some of you, your storm is a rebellious child. We deal with that. Or maybe you've got crazy parents. You know, you feel like you were raised by kids, and they won't grow up. Or whatever, and you're just like, you know, I don't need this stress in my life, but you've got it, and they're the ones that you know you came in the world with. There are a lot of different types of storms in our life. Some of them are real game changers, and many of you have experienced that, where your sweetheart, your loved one, whether it's a husband or a wife, has gone first. And like, you know, I've said it before, we always know that, don't we, when we stand at the altar. We always know, of course, we're not thinking about that. That's the last thing we're thinking about. But the reality is, when you stand at the altar with somebody that you love and you want to spend the rest of your life with, you already know one of you is going to go first. And the other one will be left behind. And the other one will be there to fill up life the best that they can. And so losing a spouse to death is a real game changer, and also a child. Nothing is more out of order than when a child goes home to be with the Lord before the parent does. It's just not in our things. It's just not right. It's out of order. Kids are supposed to attend the funeral of their parents, right? That's the way it's supposed to be. But it doesn't happen that way. And so those storms come. So I want you to look at this next truth. Storms can wreak havoc in our life, but the good news is that Jesus is with us in every storm that we face. You see, that's what this passage is teaching. Now, let me read another one there in Matthew. Go back seven chapters to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24 through 27. Now, just listen to the Lord, because he's talking to us, and he's talking to us about these storms. There's another passage on storms. He says, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them," in other words, you live according to the way God wants you to, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house, his life, on a rock. In other words, a wise man or woman builds their house in life, they build their philosophy of life on something that doesn't move, right? The rock doesn't move. This is talking about a boulder. It's not talking about a pebble. It's talking about a boulder that, you know, is immovable. He built his house, his life, on a rock, that which doesn't move. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. And what you notice, it did not say it wasn't damaged. It said it didn't fall. And a lot of times the storms of life hurt us. They damage us. But when we're built on the rock, we don't collapse. Isn't that good news? All right? Storms can hurt us. We can have scars. And then he says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And what I want you to notice is Jesus in this doesn't say if the rain will fall in your life. He says when. It's when. And so if you're going through a storm and you say, I don't understand why God is letting this happen, understand the Lord has already told us they're coming. Why? Because you're in a broken world. Storms will come. That's the message. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 45, he said, the rain, trouble falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. Whether I'm walking with God or I'm not, I'm going to have storms in my life. I'm going to have difficulty. And here's what I want you to notice. The first thing that is mentioned in this passage that Jesus talked about when he talked about the rains and the storms coming, the first thing that is mentioned about what the storm affects is the rock. Do you notice that? Talks about the rock. Now, what is God saying? What he's simply saying is this. You can understand when you get in a storm, the first thing that gets hit, the first thing that gets attacked is your relationship with the Lord. And the rock, if you're built on the foundation of Christ, it stands. But that's where your first battle is. That's where our battle is in these days. It is, are we built on the rock? Do we trust the rock? Do we trust the Lord that God is not going to allow anything in my life that hasn't, first of all, come through Him? The first thing that gets hit is the rock in our life. Does that make sense? And so just understand that's where the battle is going to be. Now, some of you probably recall, because I know a lot of people are movie buffs, there was a movie back in 1991 with George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg, and it was called The Perfect Storm. And maybe you saw that. It is a true story about a mega storm off the coast of Massachusetts, and it was the strongest storm that has ever been recorded in the history of the United States. And what happened was there were two storms already in the Atlantic, and a hurricane, oddly enough named Hurricane Grace, came together. Two storms and a hurricane converged, and they produced the perfect storm. It was a mega storm, the biggest storm in national history. It produced, are you ready for it, a 100-foot wave that was produced. It was absolutely devastating, and a whole lot of lives were lost. And in our text, the disciples get caught up in what you would call a perfect storm, because in this storm that they are in, Jesus has sent them across the Sea of Galilee. And did Jesus know the storm was going to be there? Of course he did, right? But he said, I want you to get in the boat. I want you to go over there. And so what God wants us to understand is the Lord knows the storms that are coming in your life and my life. And my comfort is knowing that in this day that you and I are in, that Isaiah has already told me that the Lord declares the end from the beginning. And God has already determined my days. He's already determined how long I'm going to be here. And he's already determined what's going to be permitted to come into my life and what is not going to be permitted. As a child of God, because I'm walking in the will and the way of the Father, being in this place, refusing to leave, refusing to quit until I get the word from him, God says, as long as you're on my assignment, doing what I want you to do in this world, and you understand that's for you as well. As long as that is true, God says, I know every storm that is going to come, and I will not permit any storm to come that is not, first of all, within the context of my will to be permitted in your life. And because you are mine, and because you're doing what I want you to do, there is no storm that's going to come in your life that's going to take you to the bottom. I will be with you. Isn't that good news? That's good news. And so the insight in your outline, God is always with us in every storm that we're going to face in life. And you understand there are a myriad of storms that can come to us in this sin-broken world. But what I want you to understand is every storm in my life is permitted by the Father. And every permitted storm, listen, is therefore providential. And so what we're going through is providential. And you can say, well, it's because of this or it's because of that or because some scientist in China did this or didn't do that or whatever. Let me tell you something. They couldn't do anything except God permitted it. God didn't cause it, but he permitted it. And so it brings me to number two. Storms are pathways of providence. They're pathways of providence. And a lot of God's kids mistaken by the idea that when they follow Christ and walk in obedience to him, that life is going to be easier. Would to the Lord that it was that way. That as long as I'm following him, life just goes along and it's smooth sailing, the sun is shining and everything is good. The reality is every easy path is easy because it's not going up. And so every easy path that I'm on, I'm coasting. And it isn't until I quit coasting that I start growing and I start getting better. Let me read you, I think, one of the most comforting passages in the Word, and that's Psalm 121, verse 5 through 8. Now just listen. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come in and as you go out, both now and forever. Are those not some of the best promises you've ever heard in your life? God says, I will be with you. I will bless you. I will bring you in and bring you out as you go through life. And God says, I will keep you ultimately from destruction. What I want you to understand is that is a general promise that God says, I am with my people and I will make sure that my plan for your life is fulfilled. God says, I will keep you. I will watch over you. As long as you follow me, I will keep you from destruction. But what Psalm 121 is not saying, God is not promising a trouble-free life. He did not promise that. What he simply said was that he would be with us in everything and he would keep us. You have to read Psalm 121 in light of what Jesus said in John 16:33. Just write that down somewhere. Listen to what he said. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So God is not teaching us we're not going to have storms. Look at the next truth. Storms are inevitable no matter what we do. But what God is saying is the plan of my Father is that when storms come, listen, watch this. When storms come, every storm that God permits and allows in my life serves one purpose, and that storm is to blow me forward. It is to move me forward. That is the purpose of every storm God allows to blow into my life. How do I know that? 2 Corinthians 4:17. Write that down somewhere. Our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Listen, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Did Jesus know when he told the disciples to get into the boat, did he know that there was a storm that was going to come on the Sea of Galilee? He certainly did. The disciples, being seasoned fishermen, they were acquainted with the Sea of Galilee. Listen, they know the potential of a storm. And they knew when they were in that storm, this is a storm, guys. This is a big one. This is the one that can absolutely destroy us. And so when you see this storm that we're in, you see this whole thing about the virus and what have you. Listen, Satan wants to scare us. That's the test. The world who doesn't know the Lord wants to scare us. We don't act foolish, but we don't live in what? Fear. We do not live in fear. Why? Because the Lord is with us. He has told us, get to the other side. You belong to me. I've got a plan for you. And when you walk with me, you are invincible as long as you obey me until you've done what I put you here to do. Look at verse 22 again in our text. Jesus said, get in the boat and go to the other side. That was the Lord's will. And God says, my plan for you is to serve me until my time for you is to come home. And I believe that I am here on this hill because this is God's will for my life. Every one of you, I want you to raise your hand if you believe you're a member of Harmony Hill Baptist Church because this is where God told you he wanted you to be. Would you raise your hand? Listen, I mean, I believe it too. And that means we're in this day because this is the day God created for us to live in. God has sovereignly planted you and me on this hill for this time in history. And our calling is to live out our faith as the church on the hill. That's why God has us here. We are to live through this health crisis for his name's sake and to keep pointing people toward Jesus. And at the right time, God will deliver us. Amen? Amen. All right, listen. Let me just add this. Let me just say this. Have you ever seen that sticker on the back of a car where it says, God is my co-pilot? You ever seen that? Raise your hand. You ever seen that? All right. Don't raise your hand if you've got it on your bumper. But if you do, I want you to tear it off today. Today. I want you to go out. I'm not dissing you, but that is sorry theology, and it is unbiblical. If God is your co-pilot, that means you only give him the controls of your life when you feel like it. If he's your co-pilot, it means he's not in control. I don't know about you, I don't live that way. Look at the insight in your outline. In these stormy days, put the direction of your life in the Lord's hands by an act of your will. And that means that there will always be storms. There can be a storm, listen, there can be a storm that can take people's jobs. There can be a storm that can bring about illness. And the thing that you want to know is, above everything else, that all the days of your life, you're in the job not that you chose, but that God led you into. You're not looking for a job that's just going to make money, right? You're looking for a job that's where the Father wants you, right? This is where you say, amen, Pastor, I'm listening. Yes, all right? You want to be where God wants you to be. Why? Because if you're where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, then the Father will take care of you. And he will walk you through whatever you're going through. My comfort in my life is that I'm right where the Father wants me to be. I had so many places I could have gone otherwise, but this is where God wanted. There's a guy in the book of Genesis named Joseph. Joseph had one life storm after another. He had one setback after another. Yet in every part of it, what was happening was Joseph was trusting the God of his father, the God who was his God. And he was trusting God just to get him through. His brothers sold him into slavery, if you remember. And the slave traders took him to Egypt and they sold him there. But because Joseph put his life in the hands of God, he trusted God that, Lord, I'm trusting you're going to direct my life. My life is one stumble, one series of pain after another. But what you learn is, what you see in Scripture is that his slavery was nothing but a stepping stone to the second most highest position in the land of Egypt. So what God is saying is this: when in the providence of God, his brothers were brought before him, Joseph, because of his position, he could have had every one of them executed. He could have said, they're thieves, and nobody would have questioned him. And he could have had them executed. But listen to Genesis 45, verse 5. Now, these guys had, according to the world, ruined his life. He spent close to 20 years in prison, unjustly. And this is what he said. But now, my brothers, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves. Listen, because you sold me here. He said, because God sent me here before you to preserve life. Now listen, God did not cause Joseph's brothers to sin against their brother. God did not cause that. But God so worked his purpose for Joseph, even in the midst of his brother sinning, that where God wanted Joseph was exactly where he went. You know what that's called? It's called the providence of God. Look at the truth insight in your outline. Joseph's brother sinned selling Joseph into slavery. But God made sure the only ones they could sell Joseph to were on their way to Egypt. God said, you think you're in control? You're not. I'm in control. And if you go and you read it again, you find that Joseph didn't say God allowed it. He said God did it. God did it. And so look at the truth. God is not only the one who permits my storms, he also determines the direction the storms blow my life. So number three, storms in life serve the purpose of God. They serve his purpose. Now, I want you to understand my heart in this message, beloved. I'm in no way saying, I want you to understand, I do not like storms. I'm not a masochist. I do not enjoy suffering. At all. I don't like storms. And I hope that you don't either, because if you like storms, something's wrong. And I'm echoing my Lord's lesson. Listen to what he said in John 16:33. In the world, you will have tribulation, i.e. storms. You will have them. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the storms. You see, that's what I celebrate. I do not celebrate a storm. I do not celebrate my cancer. If I celebrated my cancer, there's something wrong with me. That's just not right. But what I celebrate is the purpose that it serves. And it has brought me into a closer walk with my Father. Catherine and I have grown. Our love for each other has grown in this whole time. There's so much that God did in this. What I celebrate is that my Father works his plan in my storms. That's what I celebrate. I celebrate what the Father's doing. Listen to Matthew 14:22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. Now listen, he made them. And let me give you two types of storms, all right? Number one, there are storms of protection that keep us from things. And that's the storm in our text. This is a storm of protection. There was an urgency. When you go back and you read that passage in Matthew 14, it was like Jesus was pushing them into the boat. And it is suggesting that the disciples didn't want to leave, but Jesus was pushing, I want you in the boat. I want you to leave. I want you to leave now, and I want you to go to the other side. Now, what you got to remember is the Lord had just performed his greatest miracle. He fed 5,000 men and women from 5 pita breads and 2 sardines. 5,000 people. And he wanted his disciples to get away. Why? Because the crowd wanted to make him king. I mean, this is a guy that can feed us every day. The disciples wanted Jesus to be who he was. We want you to be king, Lord. This is great. They want you to be the Lord and to be the king. And look at the truth in your outline. Often what we want most is what we need the least. The reality is that for a huge portion of God's people, the blessing of God in my life and your life potentially can lead us away from him instead of closer to him. And the last thing that Jesus wanted was for the disciples to get caught up in the whole thing of them making him king. Why? Because they knew if he becomes king over Israel, we will be next in command. We're the ones next to him. This is going to be a promotion for us. You ever heard the expression, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely? You heard that? Jesus didn't want that to happen to the disciples. And he knew they could not handle if that happened. There are things that the Lord knows have to be kept from every one of us. Why? Because if he let it happen, we would wander away from him. And so the truth in your outline, sometimes the thing we want most in life becomes a noose around our necks to destroy us. There are many people today, maybe there's some here this morning, and I trust there will be in this service and the next, that at the first part of your life and your walk with the Father, you ask God to bless you and to be with you. And you're like, Father, if you bless me, Lord, I will give to you. I will promote missions. I will do everything I can, Lord. I want to see your work move forward. And God prospered them and blessed them, and he caused good things to flow to them. And the reality is they fell in love with the blessing of the Father, and today they are not lost, but they have wandered. They've wandered. And they're here and they're there. And when they ought to gather on the Lord's day to worship him, they're giving him token worship, doing something else. For someone listening this morning, you used to be a whole lot closer to Christ, serving him, leading people to him. But today you're nowhere where you used to be. And you're not, primarily because God has been good to you. And the reality is there are a lot of God's people today, when they were living paycheck to paycheck, when their health was bad, when other problems plagued their life, their walk with God was a whole lot better. And the truth in your outline, sometimes when we reach our life goals, we forget about the Lord who blessed us to get there. And so number two, there are storms that also come because we've been disobedient, which is really the second kind of storm off of the first one. Insight in your outline. Sometimes the storms we are in is from our unwillingness to do God's will. You see, you can go into a whole lot of things about why we're going through COVID-19. I'm not going to chase that rabbit right now. There's a lot of things that could be said. But I want you to know, I believe if there's one primary thing that this whole experience is about, it is about grabbing the attention, not of lost people, but of God's kids that have wandered. Americans who've wandered away from the Lord. God told Jonah, he said, I want you to go and preach repentance to Nineveh. And Jonah thought, I don't like those people, and if I don't go preach to them, then God's judgment will come on them and they'll just be wiped off the face of that map. So he runs away, gets on a boat, going the opposite direction from Nineveh, and the Bible says a storm arose. Always know when you're running away from the Lord, there's going to be a storm in your future. There'll always be a storm. And Jonah, when it was so bad, Jonah told the guys, he said, throw me in the sea and the storm will die because it's because of me. I know it is. And so they do. They throw him overboard. The storm quits immediately. Listen, Jonah's storm was a disobedient storm. It was a storm because of disobedience. And I have them and you have them. And they're one of the ways that God takes us to the woodshed. Storms. They can be a woodshed experience. That's an old term to saying God is belt out and whooped you. Right? That's what it means. God told us what to do, and we didn't, and now we're in a storm of life, and you and me, like Jonah, it was created for us because of our disobedience. And if we want out of the storm, the way out of the storm is to obey. Do what the Lord wants. And so the last thing, the Lord is watching us in our storms. He's with us in our storms. Look at Matthew 14, 23. He went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, the Lord's up on the mountain praying. The disciples are out on the sea, right? And they're struggling and they're having such a hard time. But if you go back and you read this account in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 6, verse 47 and verse 48, listen to what it says. Because it's talking about the same thing. Jesus is up on the mountain. Listen to what it says. He saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Let me give you an insight. In our storms, heaven never takes its eyes off of us. God never takes his eyes off of me. The disciples couldn't see the Lord, but the Lord could see them. And maybe you've asked lately, Lord, where are you? And the Lord's answer is, I'm where I've always been. I'm in heaven with the Father, but I am watching every move in your life. Isn't that good news? The Lord says, I'm watching you. You're not out of my care. The truth, Jesus does not watch does not watch the troubles of our lives passively. And the Lord was allowing them to struggle. He was allowing them to go through what they were going through. He was watching them until the right time. And what the Bible is saying is right now in what you and I are in, the Lord is waiting for the right time. And He's going to come to us. He's going to come to you and me. And you and I are being affected by this storm, this whole COVID thing. We're being affected in a lot of different ways. God, this is serving a purpose of God to grow us and to develop us. And you're saying, Lord, why don't you answer me? God says, I will answer you when you have struggled to the place that you're willing to do what I want you to do. And you're willing to be obedient to me. And so let me just close with this. If you look at your invitation, I want to close with some bullet points for us this morning. Number one, verse 25, Jesus came to them in the fourth watch of the night. The fourth watch of the night on the maritime calendar is between 4 and 5 a.m. So what that means is the disciples potentially had been struggling close to 12 hours for whenever they got into the boat. They're going all night struggling. And here's the insight I want you to see. God normally waits to bring deliverance from trouble till we're at the end of ourselves. And He's the one who knows. You see, I can be angry at God. You can be angry at God because of the storm that you are in. And as long as you're angry, that is a sign you haven't struggled enough. Why? Because you're mad. And it is not till I stop being mad and you stop being mad and we become broken that the Lord can come and be there with us in that storm and tell you what He's wanting us to know about why we're in that storm. The second thing is, verse 26, when they saw Jesus, they thought He was a ghost. Now, why did they think the guy they had spent day and night with for 3 years, why did they think He was a ghost? Because they weren't looking for Him. Didn't they know the Lord was going to come? Had He ever failed them? He had been with them faithfully all through all of that. Matthew 23:37. Oh, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you to myself as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you would not. And so look at the insight. The Lord will come to you and me in these days. Listen to hear His voice directing you. Just listen for His voice. Lord, here I am. What do you want me to do? Now listen, there are a lot of hurting people in this world. There's a lot of hurting people in Lufkin. And the Lord in all this says, don't miss this opportunity. Be the church. I want to hear your stories. When you are able to be the church, be what God wants you to be to people that are hurting, we want to hear about that because that's going to bless us. When God uses you to minister to somebody else, lead someone to faith in Christ, help them in their struggle, we want to hear your story. And then number three, lastly, but seeing the wind, Peter became frightened and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. You know, a lot of people say, well, Peter sank because he lacked faith. How many people have you ever heard talk about the fact Peter is the only man in the history of humanity who ever walked on water? You know, there's other disciples going to be saying, you sank. He said, yeah, but I was out there, wasn't I, walking on water. We don't think about that. But look in your insight. If you feel like you're going to crater under the strain of these days, you've taken your eyes off the Lord. Get your eyes back on Him. And when Peter called out, he said, Lord, save me. Beloved, that's what the Lord is wanting to hear today. I don't know where you are and what you're battling, but what the Lord wants to hear is, Father, Lord Jesus, save me. I need you. I want to do what you want me to do in these days. I want to be what you want me to be. Lord, help me walk through these days of unprecedented stress and strain. Help me walk through it and be what you want me to be. Would you say that to Him today?